Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which we watch an episode of The Golden Girls. And we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very awesome guest, a man that I adore, all over LA, in and outside of houses, the very awesome Chris Wilmoth.
Hey.
Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thank you for coming and eating chips and drinking buzz bombs with me.
Oh, this is amazing. This is a great setup we got going on over here. It's amazing.
We're on a TV dinner tray, guys.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'm in Phoenix just drinking my coffee and eating my peanut butter with marshmallows in it. So it's
what?
Pretty great.
That sounds amazing.
Just straight up peanut butter and marshmallows? No, No bread or anything, no carbs.
No
carbs.
Yeah. Carb free.
Yeah.
Just dipping the peanut butter in the into the marshmallow, like the pudding. Have you had marshmallow pudding?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I used to live off of we call it fluff. It's fluff.
Jiggly fluff.
Yeah, what's marshmallow fluff.
That's a Pokemon. Never mind. Okay. it's called something like that. I know.
Yeah. They call it fluff. It's like a big jar, and it's what you use to make fudge.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like it.
And you can also make a peanut butter and fluff sandwich.
I like the fluff.
On Wonder Bread, and it's very healthy. Option.
This is a delicious food podcast, by the way. Just going to talk about snacks and sorority drinks that we are indulging in. So, well, we usually like to start by asking our guests, what is their Golden Girls background? But I know a little bit about your history of not having Golden Girls. So tell me what you thought it was, maybe, or what you were expecting, or what was your general outcome of your experience maybe in the past or today with Golden Girls.
I'm pretty sure I've never seen a Golden Girls episode mm-hmm. before today. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea it was the greatest show of all time.
What the fuck?
Oh my god, that was hilarious and so ridiculous. They couldn't even make that episode right now in 2017.
Both plot lines could not work today.
I was just like, basically throughout the episode, I was just kind of like delighted at least just saying, oh no, to like the TV.
Oh, I was so happy about it. I was cheering for all of that. Oh man, the statutory rape subplot. Good lord.
Oh man.
She's like when you're 17, 23 seems like very dangerous and forbidden. It's like, yeah, it's because it's illegal. It's it's literally forbidden. Like,
so what did you think you were gonna
that's why it seems forbidden. It's against the law.
Forbidden love. Because of society. So what did you think you were going to see? What did you think?
I honestly didn't really know what to expect. I knew Betty White was in it. And I think she's hilarious. Yeah. Like, from just everything I've seen. But, like,
damn it.
I'm the worst with, like, shows and, like, people. Like, I don't watch much TV, really. And, like, so I didn't really know what to expect. I just knew Betty White was in it.
Thank you for talking while I chewed. I know you're like, keep talking, come on, please. So as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to do the synopsis for the listener who did not get to watch it with us. So go ahead, Genevieve.
I already gave
all
a brief.
Right.
Sure, yeah. So if you're wondering what we were just talking about, we jump around everywhere. Don't worry.
Okay, so Dorothy gets a call from her her old high school teacher, Mr. Gordon, and he's coming into town and he wants to see her, and she had a crush on him and did all these things for him, so she's very excited, and turns out he's a pretty manipulative dude. Tries to strong arm her into basically writing a book review for her, and yeah, he's not great. It was pretty unfantastic. And and at the same time, Rose gets a promotion. She's now an associate producer at the TV station, and she's producing this Jerry Springer like show where we're basically
two lesbians.
And honestly, it's not even like, I was like, they were just like, it was just over lesbians. They exist. Like, yeah. Well, yeah. She talks Blanche and Dorothy into being on a show for being roommates, but then it's, oh, they're two women that sleep together. And you know, that's, so basically that's, yeah, that was an awkward moment. And and then the C plot is Sophia is sassy. So
oh my god, Sophia is my favorite. That's the mom, right?
The mom.
Oh yeah. My yeah, god, she, yeah, she was by far my great. Favorite character. She's the in the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit! Yeah. Yeah, she's hilarious.
She's a powerhouse. Just yeah, so little and slinging the jokes, just yeah. one after the other.
Do they write that show? Like, are they the writers?
Those for, no.
like the girls, really?
Mm-mm, but oh my God. You know, actors write on the stage. I like yeah. to think. Just kidding.
They're morons. Okay. What's pretty improv, right?
A lot of the episodes were written by at this point were written by Mitchell Hurwitz, who wrote on Arrested Development.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is that parallel. Between in the writing, you can kind of tell a little bit. You can like,
I never see watched too much of that show,
Arrested Development.
Yeah, like I've seen episodes.
Just imagine a really funny show you love, and it's that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
no, from what I've seen, it's really funny. Like,
I will say, like watching this show from beginning to end, which I never really did as a kid. Like I really like the later seasons better than the earlier seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, this is like my first experience, but right. yeah, that was great. It seems like the characters were
yeah.
like they got the characters down, and it's right. like
it's
the joke writing is
the
so
dumb one, the slut, the sarcastic one, and then the one that is
doesn't give a
that
fuck.
Doesn't give a fuck flying fuck.
Yeah, like at all.
Yeah. Like these are these characters,
that
these
was
archetypes.
So funny when she was questioning her daughter, like oh, on yeah. the show,
yeah.
she's like, I would have get her. She's like, most people can't tell that I'm a lesbian, and she's like, I would have guessed right away.
She did have a blazer on. I will say that she was doing the blazer. So we start off in. Oh, by the way, this is season 7, episode 15. And it is titled Goodbye Gordon, which I think it's an homage to something.
Goodbye Mr. Gordon.
Goodbye. Oh, sorry. Goodbye Mr. Gordon. That's the title. And it's probably an homage to some teacher movie or something like
that. It's an homage to Goodbye Mr. Chips.
Mr. Kip? Or,
Mr.
Or
Chips.
Mr. Chip?
Mr. Chip. Yeah.
Oh, that was the John Travolta show?
Movie show.
It was, let's see, I think Goodbye Mr. Chips was, he was like a good character that went bad.
Okay. A good character yeah. that goes bad.
When was this guy a good character?
Yeah. This guy was
this
not.
Guy was such a scumbag.
Right. I hated this guy. Oh my God.
Yeah, just like right off the bat, I was like, nope.
Nope. Nope.
It's so weird too. Like, I feel like English teachers love having inappropriate
yes.
shit with angsty
teachers.
Teens.
Because
like they yeah. all relate to angsty teens.
Because there's never, like, listen, there's never been a movie where the teacher is teaching inner city kids about, like, life, but it's not an English class. It's never math.
Yeah.
It's never science.
Yeah.
It's English.
What about the movie with Lou Diamond Phillips where the guy taught him math? It was Stand Up and Deliver.
Was Stand Up and Deliver about math?
I believe that was about math. Okay. I will say that.
All right.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. Yeah. We got one.
I'm corrected by what I think I remember a movie from 25 years ago. So I could be wrong. That was Edward James Olmos, I think.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
May or may not have taught math and inspired students.
Because
so.
There's always like a scene where like a student writes a poem or, you know, and then the camera's spinning around the student and everyone's kind of like,
yeah,
this is amazing, you know, and like, what if they did that with an equation? I don't know. Like that would be like someone reciting the Pythagorean theorem, like,
and then like does a little dance,
does like a little dance.
Like the teacher also like the kid teaches them how to dance, and the while the teacher teaches the Pythagorean theorem, and everybody learns a valuable lesson.
Something.
So I'm gonna teach you physics, and you're gonna teach me how to love.
Yeah,
the physics of love.
How to accept people who are different.
Because, like, when it's math and science, those movies just end up being, like, Nutty Professor. The original air date was, like, January 11th, 1992. And, yeah, it's...
1992. I was
yeah.
a year old. Wait, January 11th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was almost a year old.
Oh,
I was
okay.
coming up on my year.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Little baby Chris.
I would have been 9 when this episode, motoring into 10 when this episode aired. So
I would have been.
I probably watched it. I probably made a snack and knitted a Barbie sweater and watched this episode.
Knitted
a
Barbie
your
sweater.
Own snacks at 9.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. 9 years old is definitely make your own snacks.
Yeah, I was making my own snacks at 9 too. Toasting those Eggo waffles.
Yeah. Eating them secretly.
Yeah.
I think this would have been maybe English muffin pizza era.
Oh wow, you were an advanced,
advanced
child.
You were.
I learned that from a Babysitter's Club book. So that,
all the snacks you ate were based on Babysitter's Club books.
I did. I will say that I learned how to make latkes from a Babysitter's Club. It was for the Little Sisters. Of the Babysitter's Club series, they had a cookbook where one of the girls was Jewish and she had a recipe for latkes that I still use to this day.
Wow.
So.
What's your secret, Grandma Genevieve? Oh, Babysitter's Club.
Get all the moisture out of those potatoes just like Hattie did.
I love it.
There's definitely textbooks that you read in school that you got less out of.
Yeah.
Than that.
Yeah.
Like you're still using that.
Did you? Where's your? What's your pumpkin pie from? A Goosebumps book. So
there's gotta be a Goosebumps a Goosebumps like cookbook. I would fucking own that. So.
It was called How to Kill a Pumpkin Pie Monster.
Would read.
So you guys read. So we start in the kitchen. Dorothy, there's a phone call, and Blanche answers it first, and it's for Dorothy, and it's a man. And she hangs up the phone because she's like, oh, it was a man, so obviously it's the wrong house.
Honestly, that first joke hooked me immediately, too. Like, I was like, not knowing what to expect. Like, oh, shit, they're like, come with the clapbacks.
They don't
immediately.
Fuck around.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. It starts with just burning somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's start the episode by burning someone very good. And so it's Dorothy's teacher. Somehow he has her number. It's so weird.
I didn't even think about that aspect at all.
Somehow he's like in
Facebook.
No Facebook. He's just like, I'm going to look up Dorothy Spornak. I know for a fact she lives in Miami. I'm going to go to the library, go to the Miami phone book, find Dorothy Spornak, because that's what you had to do back in the day when you wanted to call somebody like in another city. It's fucking nuts. And she's like, and then Dorothy just explains like how he made her feel beautiful, and like he made her like feel like intelligent, and it was like really creepy,
real rapey vibes.
I know, these are like really positive things that like a lot of like high school girls struggle with, but I was like, oh no. It's just like, yeah, like he made you feel beautiful by making you like rotate his tires, and
he's like,
this guy would have done really well in Hollywood.
He's like, your hands are so big,
you crush it out here.
Yeah, well, what was his I was thinking about Rose's she got the job because they thought she was a dude or something, like they gave her the wrong name.
Oh yeah.
And it was like Harley something Steen, and I just thought of Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, I know.
Did you think of that too?
I think was like, honestly, what channel was Golden Girls on?
It was ABC.
ABC? It probably was like a play
it was
on.
It was on ABC.
It was around back then, right?
Yeah, it could. So it's a play on Harvey Weinstein.
I think it may have been.
It could have been. Yeah. He was around back then. He was around he's been around so long.
Yeah.
Some of the allegations are from like the early 90s. So,
boom.
Could be alluded to in this.
What a topical and controversial episode.
I know.
Of
this
the Golden
is so in line
Girls.
With what's happening today. So she rotated his tires. Like, don't make like a 17-year-old girl do that for you. Like, what's fuck's wrong with you? Like,
don't make anyone do that for you besides like people you pay for. Like, that's like a good.
Because then you have to balance the tire. Like, it's like, how does Dorothy know how to work like those equipment? And it's a lot of equipment that you have to use to do all that stuff.
It's honestly, I gotta give it up to like the Golden Girls writers for making 2 70-plus-year-olds hooking up still seem like statutory rape.
Yes, props to the writers for being able to do that.
Yeah, high five, Golden Girls.
And then Blanche said that she had the same experience with a math teacher.
Oh yeah, she alluded to like fucking her math teacher.
Yeah,
and that's how she got into MIT.
Yeah, she fucked a guy into MIT, and she made the principal jealous with all her like she had the school faculty wrapped around her finger. Yeah. It's just fucking insane.
Oh my god!
I had one teacher, Mr. Kenny, that I had a crush on, and he was like obviously gay. And he wore like really tight women's pants, so his booty like was for everyone to see. Not it wasn't exposed, but it was just tight pants.
Yeah,
so were your pants got tighter as well every day in that class.
Yeah,
because of that.
My pants got super tight. And then it wasn't until I graduated that I went to this gay party that I saw him. And I got really drunk, and he kissed me on the cheek.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I know.
It's so.
But I kind of wanted it because
of course
it was
so
hot. So, I relate to Dorothy in that way.
Yeah.
But I would never try to fight him.
I dated, when I was 21, I dated a guy who taught at my high school. He taught at my former high school, Hidney. He was like 24. And and for people that know my act, he is the one that ordered milk on a date.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah, so like
what kind of milk did he order?
Straight
like
up
2%?
Milk.
I mean what
like
kind?
2%?
Yeah, like whole milk. Did not know what to do. Like it just
when he ordered milk, did the waitress like ask like what kind? Like was or did they just bring out like do they have just have a standard milk order?
I think they just had like a standard milk. Yeah, I think I don't yeah, I imagine she was just as flummoxed as I was.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I'll bring you a fucking glass of milk, you
when
weirdo.
I restaurants,
you weirdo.
I would I would always bring out like the fattiest milk whenever someone ordered it. I didn't care.
Yeah.
They can't tell. You can't tell what the fat is unless you're an expert. You're a trained milk taster.
Or if you're autistic, which if you're ordering milk at a restaurant, you probably are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No offense to autistic people, but like it was bizarre.
All love to autistic people. I love autistic people.
They're the best.
Yeah.
And then Rose. So Rose got a promotion. She's gonna be the associate producer for Wake Up Miami, and we know she works at a TV show. And so her first assignment is that she needs to find two women who live together. She found two women were already found. I don't think she found her, but they're looking for two more, and that's when Blanche is like, "This is the kind of exposure I need," like. Bitch, what are you trying to make your IMBD bigger? Like, what kind of exposure do you need? Television like, you're going to hook up with men that find you on TV? Like,
that was the goal, yeah.
That was the goal.
Yeah, she's got to use this clip for her reel.
For her reel.
Yeah, her video. Back in the day, they had, like, video cassette reels. It's insane.
That is so crazy to think about, and it really wasn't that long ago.
Was like, not very long ago.
Yeah, it's, like, a pain in the ass, like, getting a stand-up video, like, with all the technology we have right now, like... Mm-hmm. Just getting, like, I finally have a video that's, like, somewhat passable after, like, 2 years, almost, a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, I couldn't imagine, like, editing like that. Like, I'm too lazy to edit on a computer, like, with all the, that's crazy.
That is nuts.
Yeah, I know. When people complain about getting a video for, like, a festival or something like that, I'm like, you know, you can take those on your phone.
I mean, you have to be funny, easy.
But
yeah, it's just you have to. It's a matter of getting a good set documented, which it's so stand up is so like because you want it to be like one of your best sets if you're in it.
Yeah,
you have to record every set.
Yeah,
ever, and just hope one is good.
Yeah,
and just do your best stuff each time, which sucks because you want to work on other stuff.
Yeah,
you want to work on other stuff, so. It's just the fucking hardest. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's really... I think I'm, like, for that, I just need to start recording if I have an actual show. Because, like, there's no point in, like, recording a mic set. But, like, if you have an actual show, it could turn... You could kill. And then you could just have that be your video. So
yeah.
Yeah.
We've, like... Yeah, this is... So Blanche, just hire someone to record your sets. So
I feel like she would. I feel like she require she hires someone to record all of her sex sessions. It's
so,
part of her fetish.
So the next scene, yeah, it's part of her fetish. And the next scene is when we meet Mr. Gordon. And Dorothy's exhilarated. She's just, everyone can tell that she's giggly. She's weirdly giggly. She's like, like, she's like Elmo, kind of. And it's really kind of weird. Like, oh my God. And then, Sophia kind of calls her out and she's like, "You're fucking like a weirdo." And she's like, "No, I don't like him that way. You can come on our date if you want to see that I'm not like a weirdo.
It's like, I'm to prove to you that I'm not a weirdo, I'm gonna invite you on a date.
Invite you on a date. And then when he comes, she's like, what the fuck, you're not going on a date with us. And the date was like in their backyard. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was like not. He just came over.
And yeah, that was the date.
He came over to ask her to write some shit for him. And that was it.
And like, I was confused because, like, oh my God. It was just, okay. First of all, it was so weird. Like, him being like, you were like the most lovely student. And, you know, when I was 23, I was right out of college. So it's not that weird. Like, he's trying to, like,
yeah, like he's still justifying it. Like an 80-year-old.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
So
like he's like, I did want to fuck you when you were 17, yeah, but like now it's okay.
Because it's 60 years later. This is the appropriate time to fulfill this fantasy when we're both really old.
And in front of your mom. So, yeah.
In front of your super elderly mom.
Who is judging me real hard.
Right. Yeah. But she was judging you, but also wanted to show you goofy pictures of Dorothy.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That's pretty much all. Like, moms just pretty much want to show everyone goofy photos. Like,
right.
They'd show, like, Ed Kemper, like, goofy photos if he came to visit.
Yeah.
No one else saw Mindhunter? Okay.
All right. Oh, I didn't see that. No.
Okay. No. He's a serial killer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this guy definitely has killed some students, I'm sure. Total.
He's at least, yeah. I mean, old white dude. Like, he was old in 92.
Yeah.
So that means he's been creditoring since like
children for
since like the
decades,
yeah, since like the 20s.
If he hasn't killed anybody, he has definitely gotten a student to kill somebody. If he's gotten a student to rotate his tires, he's gotten someone to kill.
Jesus,
yeah.
So. This is so like the Keepers. These are the Keepers.
Oh,
the
man.
Keepers episode version of the Golden Girls.
What an evil, devious character on the Golden Girls.
And then everybody praised him until the end. And that was just like, you're the creepiest.
Yeah.
And she probably fucked him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're that old, you get down to business.
Because from like,
right away,
from the moment you submit like a book review to the moment it gets published, there's some time that editors need to. So like, he was in that city for a few days at the very least. You
and
know what
when
I mean?
You're 80, like, you're like, we might die tomorrow. Like, let's
fuck now. Yeah.
It's like gay dudes. Like, yeah. they understand too.
They could die tomorrow like, of AIDS. Let's fuck now. And so they go out to the lanai, their beautiful date. He's like, you were so beautiful. I've never forgotten you. Like, you were like one of the many boners these girls. Like, if Dorothy gave her, not that Dorothy was hot back when she was younger.
For sure,
right?
She's still hot.
Yeah, she's still.
She was still hot in 92. I don't know what she looks like now, but.
She's dead now. Oh. She's covered in
that's even hotter.
Dirt and worms. But she's probably like a hot, you know, skeleton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
let's assume that she left a beautiful corpse. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I would love to look at B. Arthur's skeleton.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like looking at skeletons.
I mean, I would love
if
to.
Someone showed me, I'd look. Like, there's definitely.
I would
like,
be like, oh my God, this is B. Arthur. That's amazing.
You wouldn't be curious about B. Arthur's skeleton. Why, you're too good.
Like, it's like, if you ever found yourself in that situation to actually be able to look at it, it's like, when am I ever going to get this opportunity again? Like, I should at least look. Like, it would be disrespectful not to.
Right. She would want you to.
Yeah.
That's what she would have wanted.
She
yeah, I love it.
She likes attention. She's an actress.
Yeah.
So creepy. Okay, so Rose ended up booking Blanche and Dorothy as in the TV show. The next scene is the TV show. Sorry, I skipped ahead. So the dude, Mr. Gordon, gets Dorothy to start writing the article for her. Start writing the article for him because he needs to. He needs to make some $50. I don't know.
He flew into Miami so he could make $50, and he needs a lot of help. Like,
I found this.
He can't read
weird.
This
would,
book.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Like, I mean, how much? Yeah. How much money is this for? And he's like traveling, going to different cities, and
it's just like a blurb. It's like
he could have just made it up. Like, I saw the article. He cut it out. It was very small. It must have been 500 words.
Yeah.
At most. I could
write
on that,
that
digital. Can we talk about the digital typewriter?
Yes.
That they were using the entire episode. What was that?
Digital typewriter at the, like, a scene after this. And then at the end of the episode, there was like a giant machine on the couch that Sophia and Dorothy were looking at.
Yeah. And like, what? That thing only has one font size.
Yeah.
Like the size of that article.
Yeah.
It was like in 12-point Times New Roman font.
Right. Like, she typed that article while having a conversation in that kitchen with everybody else.
I know. Like, it didn't even take that much effort. She's like, you're dead to me.
Yeah. I want that machine. I want to use it. I don't know. I love weird old stuff like that. That's like,
yeah.
It was between typewriter and like a Mac DOS
for like your
probably.
Hipster, yeah. like piece of technology.
Yeah, yeah. That I used to want to use.
Do you have a record player?
No.
That's surprising. Record players are actually the shit.
They're the shit. Yeah. I used to have a record player, but I think I gave it to my mom.
I used to have a typewriter that would type, and it had like this cursive font, and that's what it had a cursive font, and then it had like a whiteout erase key, and that was like a big deal.
Whiteout erase key is a huge deal.
Yeah,
that was the first backspace.
Yep. So I was the shit in 1992 because I had that power.
That's crazy.
In my household.
I was, so. I couldn't even talk in 1992. When do you start talking?
The cursive connected when you typed words, or was it like just the letters in cursive?
Yeah, it connected. It connected, basically. Yeah, it was really cool. It was kind of, in hindsight, probably a little bit hard to read, but I don't know. Still
like
fancy.
Like if everything connects at one spot, like, that makes the cursive probably weird. Like not flowing to each other.
Cursive?
Cursive typewriter.
What the fuck? You can't even do that on a computer, right? Can you? I don't.
Yeah, you can. There's
cursive
there's
on Microsoft.
Lucida handwriting. Hello.
Why would anyone ever want? Cursive was the most useless thing that I feel like I spent so much time on.
I still use cursive. School.
You do? Where?
Yeah, when I write things.
That's insane to me.
Do I have any cursive on
I here? Couldn't even write in cursive. The only thing I can write in cursive still is my name. Like, and it's not even, it's just my signature, which
Your
is just
signature.
Like, not even letters.
I mean, that's all you really have to write in cursive, like, these days. Like, that's pretty much, like, it's still, like, your signature, and that's about it.
Blood oaths are in cursive.
Oh, I guess that's true. But I don't know. I mean, I think if you're just writing them in blood, like
suicide
notes. No one's gonna take your suicide note seriously.
Yeah, if it's
printed.
Like If it's print,
all caps, like you don't want to kill yourself. You clearly have a lot of energy.
If you
yelling in your suicide
note. What do you do?
Note.
Like if you have a typo in your suicide note and like people I guess the only thing you can do is kill yourself.
And then they're reading
it. Post it on Facebook and somebody just corrects the word with a star next to it.
Well, like you post your friend's suicide note on Facebook. Like, here guys, judge this.
Use the wrong it's.
I before E except after suicide.
I think you meant each other and not one another. Every day should be two words, not one. Otherwise it's an adjective.
My life is insufferable is with two F's, not one. So Dorothy agrees, I'm gonna write this shit, but only, like, they didn't make a deal. Like, he didn't say, like, he was gonna, she didn't say, like, but make sure you credit me. She didn't say that. That was weird. You know, that she got mad later, you know, if she's helping him.
Yeah.
I guess so, but it seemed like she just was like, I mean, he did ask her, he's like, well, if you could help me get organized.
He said, organized.
Yeah. I can help you. Yeah, you're right. She didn't say, like, well, if I just wrote this fucking article, just credit me for it.
Right. Just give me a shout out.
Yeah.
Even just secret code my name into it with the first letter of each sentence.
That would be, like, way more romantic.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Actually crediting her. Like, you think I didn't credit you? Read every first letter of every word.
It says,
what if, God, I mean, she Mr. did. Johnson. If she wrote the article, I mean, she could have written her own shout out. Like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's her. It's really her fault. Actually, now looking back,
we're not putting a secret code in the name or in the words. So the next scene is the TV show. Dorothy's putting on makeup. Everyone's getting ready to do the show, and the dude is there. He's like allowed to walk around the stage, apparently, even though he's just an audience member. Mr. Gordon, he's just like, good luck.
He's
like you. That's never a thing. You're always being watched, and everyone's, you know, audience members cannot get up from a seat. Like, that's crazy.
Oh yeah, I served drinks at the Price is Right one time, and just the amount of like organization and security they had there. Like,
it's so tight.
Yeah, it's not like you're just walking around a set. Like, get out of here.
I was on set the other day for a thing, and like I had somebody walk me to the bathroom and then walk me back to set. It's like that doesn't happen. So What's that?
I was in the audience for At Midnight, and I was sick, and I was like afraid to like blow my nose at like the wrong time, so it would end up on camera.
I remember
and I was just
that
in the audience, but I was like, I had a good time, even though I probably had basically what amounted to be the flu and had 103 fever, so.
Yeah, Jesus. You're a trooper for doing that, by the way. You're like, I'm going to watch At Midnight.
Yeah, like, they could have replaced you very easily. You know, they wouldn't have cared if you didn't show up. Like,
I had a good time. It was,
Did you get paid for that?
No, I did not. You don't have to pay for tickets. You just like get to be in the audience. Right. And
they're free.
Yeah. Yep. It was fun.
Some places they pay you.
That's good to know.
That nobody wants to actually be in the audience for those ones that pay you.
Yeah. Rest in peace At Midnight. So the host gets started on the show, Wake Up Miami. And The first thing he says is like, we're going to be talking to women who live together. Today we have four lesbians on the show. And everyone's, Dorothy and Blanche are just shocked and appalled. They're just like, what? Like, they're just disgusted. Like, they're all just, they're just like, this is the worst thing in the world. And like, and it was weird that this whole thing was happening and it really had nothing to do with like the plot. Like, it just, like, it happened really early on the show, and then we'd never, like...
They made a couple callback jokes.
Yeah, like Blanche couldn't find a boyfriend afterwards or something like that.
And that last, like, credit scene, mm-hmm. like, where the girl came back. Yeah. Like,
did you see the last credit scene, Genevieve?
Yeah, I did. That was awesome. It was pretty funny. Yeah, but... I just kind of, yeah, they just kind of had them on as lesbians, and it was, but it was like, it was weird because it was like, I don't know, it was almost like, we got lesbians now, and they were like just asking like really weird questions, and I was like, were they such an anomaly that they just...
Yeah.
I feel like at that time, they probably were running segments like that. On shows like that?
There were, because...
So they're probably making fun of
that. Phil Donahue was really big back then. And Phil Donahue was, like, the original Jerry Springer. And also...
I think he was a lot better than Jerry Springer. He was a lot... Yeah.
Way better. Better in a ethical way. But Jerry Springer was his own beast. and also Oprah... was on back then, and Oprah was kind of dirty like that. That was like around the time where her talk show was very like Sally Jesse Raphael.
I don't know what any of those words mean. What?
do you remember what's her name? Ricky Lake?
Yeah.
It was very Ricky Lake.
Oh, okay.
Very Maury.
Ricky,
so like a Ricky female Lake. Murray Jerry Springer, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah, because like Jerry Springer came up like in the early 90s, basically after he was the disgraced mayor of, I think it was Cincinnati.
Yeah, it definitely was Cincinnati. I grew up in that general area. Nice.
Didn't he like write a check?
It was filmed in Cincinnati, wasn't it? It was filmed in Cincinnati.
It's in North Carolina.
That it was
I know
filmed?
That because I wanted to go.
It's really? At a point, they figure that these people are not from either coast.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so they are going to just film in the middle of America. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
These are people that can afford plane fare, so.
It must have been North Carolina. It's like the coast of North Carolina. It was only like a 7-hour drive from mm-hmm. like where I lived in Pennsylvania. Because I looked it up one time.
You're like, I want to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, the John Wilkes Booth show. No, that's not right. The Jerry Springer's spinoff.
No.
The Steve Wilkes show.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch
of spinoffs. Yeah, definitely not the John Wilkes Booth show. Yeah, that's not.
Did he like shoot?
Yeah. Did he shoot the president? But I wouldn't want to watch that. So yeah.
I mean, John Wilkes Booth was basically like, just kind of going back to him, he was basically like Brad Pitt. Like, he was basically like Brad Pitt, and he just like shot the president.
Yeah, everyone, like, he was like, I'm not only hot, I'm going to go down in history for doing something crazy.
I would respect an actor that shot Trump.
Yeah, like if like
that's like the only actor I would respect.
Like if what's his name, Channing Tatum shot Trump.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, like, turns out Channing Tatum's fucking awesome. Yeah.
Like, everyone loves Channing Tatum now.
I mean, he's getting the death penalty, but like he's going down in history.
Yeah. He basically was shot when he shot Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. He got it off right before he got hit in the face by a sniper. What a badass.
Yeah.
The
and a great body.
But what I didn't yeah, what I didn't get was, like, the show, like, those shows, Jerry Springer and, like, those shows, like, they have, like, a secret. There's always, like, and let's bring them out now, the person you're cheating with, you know? Like, what did they have for Dorothy and Blanche? There was nothing because they weren't real. Like, that must have been the most boring show.
Yeah. Well, they made it entertaining. With because it was written by the writers of Golden Girls. Because
everybody in the audience was just asking them inappropriate questions.
Yeah, like everyone who's the was bottom? Just in the audience. Yeah, they were like, who's the man? like
who's
just,
the yeah.
Yeah.
That had to have been a real thing at that time. Like, and I guarantee you those are the questions being asked on the shows they were parodying.
Blanche was like, I'm the girl.
Yeah.
And then Dorothy gets super mad.
Like, I take out the trash.
Yeah, I took out the trash.
Like, they have to answer it that way. Because, like, they were trying to, like, keep the facade going.
But they,
like, they could have just been like,
we're equal.
We're equal. But no,
they're both. Yeah, they could have been like, we're both. They could be like, oh, we're both actually just normal people.
Yeah.
And none of us are either women or the male. And try to, like, help society move forward. But instead,
they didn't know, though, because they weren't actually lesbians.
So and they were like, kind of caught off guard.
I don't know how that goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, B. Arthur, who knows?
Yeah, I'm sure she at least hooked up with some
pussy.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm sure they all did.
Those long fingers did not go to waste. Let's just say that. And so Rose is like, are you guys mad at me? And then she's like, we're gonna fucking murder you and shit like that. And she's like, you guys have to pretend because or else I'll get fired. Like, and then I'll just sit at home and tell St. Olaf stories. Which she never really told a St. Olaf story, so you don't know what those are, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was like a callback to something.
It is a callback. Funny. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It is a callback. But like,
she tells.
Go ahead, Genevieve.
She tells like these like long meandering stories about her life in St. Olaf, Minnesota. So. Yeah, we did not get any glorious examples in this episode.
That's still hilarious. I could tell. I mean, like,
you know what they're
Yeah, I could tell what
they're the stupidest stories.
Yeah, just like shit that they don't want to hear. And they're like, okay, like, I'll do it.
The whole town is morons. And so, like, it's always something like, back in St. Olaf, we had the festival, the herring festival. We dressed like herring and just like everyone's just dressed like a fish. And it's just ridiculous stuff. And if. Oftentimes cows are mentioned, like this episode. There was cow.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, yeah. Basically, like cows were forbidden. Cows would look dangerous and forbidden at 17.
Oh yeah, cows were dangerous and forbidden at 17.
So you couldn't eat cows.
Nobody real like. What does that even could even mean?
I loved like, it so much.
You can't make a love to a cow.
Or can you?
Okay.
Is that what makes them dangerous and forbidden?
Can't make love to a cow. Can't make love to a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Or can you?
You have to wait till the cow's 18. That's why.
and they never make it that long.
Nope. They die at 10. I don't know the lifespan of a cow. And so the real lesbians in that were total real lesbians. Like those were lesbians, right?
Yeah. They didn't like labels.
They didn't. But
they
I
were
think
image
those were...
consultants, Anthony.
Yeah,
but their image wasn't very.
Don't put these image consultants in a box.
I'm gonna put these image consultants in a box. Like, how can the like?
How dare
but
you?
But is it internet? Like, was it graphic design image consultant or? Like real estate image consultants or
I don't even really know what an image consultant is.
Is they help
it's
you?
It's like
or...
just like one of those jobs that people tell me they have and I'm like, oh, you make a decent living.
I think if you
but have... I have no idea what you do.
If you have a company, maybe they help you with your image of their company,
oh, okay.
And marketing, PR and stuff like that. You know. But like, I don't know. I think these women were real lesbians. I think, like, they were like, do you guys know any, like, in the writer's room, they're like, do you guys know any real lesbians? And somebody was like, yeah, I do. Like, they just put them on the show.
Does anyone here know any real lesbians?
Yeah.
Does anyone here know any two women that live together?
Yeah. And then they put these women in these... Yeah.
Yeah, this is like the this portion of the show is like the real life version of basically what Rose did to Blanche and Dorothy.
Oh, for sure. And so, yeah, so these ladies obviously have a troubled relationship because
yeah, they hate each other. Yeah. They, as soon as what's her name broke up, the fake lesbians broke up, she was at the door.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I hate my wife.
Or maybe, yeah, they're like, or maybe,
let's get together.
But maybe she's still, like, we don't know if she's still with her. She just heard that they broke up through the lesbian grapevine.
The lesbian grapevine. Yeah, yeah.
Through the... Yeah.
Word got out on the scene.
Yeah. Down at the old cash in, the old lesbian dive hangout,
the old dark cash bar. In. Yeah.
The old pool place. Yeah.
The bull riding.
Yeah, the bull riding joint. The word got out. So
at the old steel mill.
that's where all the lesbians hang out.
Steel mill. That image consultant hangs out at a steel mill.
Yeah, they just drink Budweiser outside of the steel mill.
Arm wrestle.
An arm wrestle.
Between steel milling. I don't know. So Sophia's questions are hilarious. There was an implication that she was going to be put back in the home.
Oh,
home.
That was a sick burn. There's so many sick burns.
Right. Yeah, so good ones. So many good ones. Okay, so then the next scene, we're in the kitchen. And Dorothy and Blanche are in there, and Blanche is like, I could be the most popular lesbian. She has like 2 pages full of like ladies' phone numbers. Like, wow.
If only it were that easy.
If only, right? Lesbians, tweet at us. Is it that easy?
Please do. I need to.
Turns
feedback.
Out it's not. I am friends with 1,000 lesbians. Yeah.
I feel like it's definitely harder than the gay guy scene.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So Dorothy's typing on a digital computer in this scene. And so there's that slant joke. Where Sophia's like, you know every slant, but I forget what the slant was referring to, what the metaphor was for. From good for blah, 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 blah. I can't make out my writing right now, guys. Okay. So
I'm trying to remember that
those
scene.
Buzz
I'm
balls.
Sorry. Yeah.
They're out of so Sophia in the scene is giving Dorothy shit about dating somebody out of town. So she's against this.
She's like, I don't want you being taken advantage by some guy from out of town. It's like, you're like gonna die soon. Like, just fuck whatever. Like, I mean, especially if you have trouble getting dick at that age. Like,
just get it from,
I mean,
a liar.
Yeah.
Get it from the guy that wanted to pedophile you and maybe did.
I don't know.
I did like the next line. I did like the next
you're
line
like
that,
comrade.
That, I did like what Sophia said. She was like, yeah, I don't want you dating some guy from out of town, but when at least when Blanche does it, it boosts tourism. So.
Oh, yeah. Another sick burn.
Another sick burn. Yeah.
Sick burn slash compliment. So.
But kudos to Sophia, because they always date guys from out of town. And I'm always like, why are you dating someone that doesn't live here? Like, if you want something serious, and it becomes serious, like, if someone's from out of town, I'm not going to take it serious.
Yeah.
Like, for never.
Never. You know?
Like,
that's the best part about an out of town person.
Yeah. That you can.
They're gone. They leave.
They
leave. Like,
they are fucking, you don't see them again. And they always do this, and it's never mentioned until today. Like, thank you, Sophia, for mentioning that these women are constantly dating men that are from out of town. It drives me crazy. And so Dorothy's kind of like, whatever, like, this is good. He's like a dreamboat, and I'm going to make it work. And so the next scene is in the living room. And so, like, Blanche was like pissed because it ruined her social life. That's what she said. She was like, it ruined everything for me. Like, guys aren't calling her because they think I'm a lesbian now with Dorothy.
Yeah, that's disadvantages of not having social media.
Yeah.
Like, she could have just tweeted and been like, I'm not a lesbian.
Right.
To all of her dudes.
Did you hear about Carmen and Lara's divorce court?
Wait,
thing.
What?
You know Carmen Morales and Laura Bites? She was on a podcast. Mm-hmm. So they were on an episode of Divorce Court, and they pretended to be lesbians.
What? No fucking way.
To get paid $500 each.
I would totally do that, too.
Yeah.
Good for them. God. That's hilarious. I really want to see that.
Yeah, me too.
Is it on the internet?
Well, here's what happened: is they posted about it on Facebook, and Divorce Court found out, and so they had to return the money, and it never got aired.
Oh,
so they had to pay back. They had to pay back $500. I'm like, you both were on the same episode of, like,
or what?
Laughs. Like, huh? Or they get sued for $500 by Fox.
Oh, okay, yeah. You're not going to win that.
You're not going to fight.
Yeah. You have to go to divorce court.
Yeah. You have to go to.
Yeah.
It's extortion. You could go to jail for a long time, I guess.
That's ridiculous. Jail. That's absolutely ridiculous. But
they should have just aired it. Like, it's ratings.
Who gives a shit? Nobody follows either one of those broads.
I think maybe the Fox will get at Divorce Court will get a couple of tweets, at least two.
Yeah,
being like, these are straight girls, or they were on the same episode of Laughs for sure.
I don't know. Look, if Bush can bury the whole 9/11 thing, I think Fox could bury that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, an episode of Divorce Court no one's gonna watch.
Yeah
Or everyone's gonna watch but not know who they are. Blanche is getting ready for a date. She met a guy at the grocery store. She taught him how to thump a melon, probably with her tits. I don't know.
I mean,
with his dick.
Probably, like, the dick.
Yeah.
If you're going to flick something.
Yeah. You're going to use the dick.
Or your finger.
Yeah.
To flick a nipple. But you're not going to use a tit.
So his name is Chuck. He calls her Thumper. Thumper. And then there was a Bambi reference. This isn't a Disney movie, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was great.
And he was just like, I'm going to dick you down until you're straight.
I'm going to thump your melon. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm going to fucking... I'm going to fill you with my man juice until you're straight.
And she's like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, turn me straight with your dick.
Oh, God. I bet he's terrible at sex, to be quite honest. Like,
I can see you watching this, Genevieve, and just being like, shaking your head and
I really shook my head the entire time. Like, my neck hurts now.
I was laughing at the thought of the people shaking their heads.
Yeah. At the, the person that wrote this. But in this case, I will say, in this, like, if this was a real lesbian, she would slap him in the face. He wouldn't even be in that house.
Oh, yeah.
But because it's Blanche, she's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds... Teach me how to be a... Yeah.
And, I mean, as a straight 80-year-old, some dude trying to fuck the lesbian out of you is definitely the best dick you're gonna get. So, like...
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And they go to fuck. I think they should have just gone into the bedroom. They should have just... They didn't have to go on a date. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, like, they already addressed the fact that they're fucking. They're gonna fuck.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
Immediately. Or go to his house and fuck the gay out of me. I've never been fucked the gay out of... It makes me more gay.
You're like super gay.
I'm super gay.
You're not like one of those on the fence gays.
No. Oh, for sure. No. I'm 100%. And so the next scene, Malcolm. Is that his name? Oh, his first name is Malcolm.
Malcolm.
His last name is Gordon.
Malcolm. Don't trust Gordon. A Malcolm. That's a shitty name.
Yeah. That sounds like a sexual predator that works in Hollywood.
Totally, yeah.
That sounds like the one they're going to take down next.
Next, Malcolm Gordon, the producer of Blacklist. I don't know.
Just some show I don't watch.
Yeah, something. Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And so he comes over. Like, he knows he fucked her over, yet he still comes over. He's like, check out the 500 words that were published in this weird magazine no one cares about.
I know, he brings it to her.
Where they paid me $1 a word.
That's like, another thing. Yeah, he could have just never showed her the article and it would have been fine.
Yeah, or been like, they actually denied it. Like, why was it so? It wasn't. Yeah. If there was a New York Times, maybe. Or like Washington Post or USA Today, maybe USA Today. Like, not even USA Today. Like, that fucking even matters. Like none of those. National Geographic, even. This was the book review elite, whatever it was. Like,
yeah.
It just angered me that this was an issue. He shouldn't have fucked her over, though. But he comes over, hey, look at what I did. I didn't fucking credit you. Check it out. And then she gets fucking pissed, right? And rightfully so, I guess. I don't know. It's a big deal. And she kicks him out. She's like, you need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an empowered 80-year-old woman.
Yeah. They're supposed to be younger than 80, but you keep saying 80. The mom is 80.
See,
the mom's 85.
So
they're like 60, supposedly.
Like, yeah, anyone over the age of 60 is like the same age to me. And like anyone under the age of like 16,
yeah,
like is the same age to me as well. Like, I don't understand.
After a while, you just group them in that thing. And so, she kicks him out. And when she kicks him out, nobody cheers. Like, nobody really.
Yeah, the studio audience didn't even react. They're like, oh, shit.
They're like, we don't really care about these characters at all to really root for anyone.
I guess he'll go back to wherever he lives now.
Yeah, he's gotta fly back into town.
You don't have to write any more book reports for this guy.
Yeah,
I know.
He's gonna do exactly what he would have done if you didn't get pissed, except for he would have banged you one more time.
But like, it's not like It's not like she wrote his thesis in college. He had already graduated when she was a student. It's not like she never, like, I don't, like, it's like she did stuff for him that was physical labor. It wasn't like writing stuff for him. So for him to just assume she was still like she was the savvy writer, or, you know, like,
yeah, like, I haven't seen you since you were 17, but let's see, I need your help writing this.
Can you write this?
You were such a good writer.
Yeah.
You probably have dementia by now.
Yeah, but maybe. So then Sophia comes in, and this is the last scene. She's like, I told you so, whatever, all that stuff. She's like, like, let's, you can, she said, like, let's keep the fantasy alive. She was like, I had the fantasy of him whisking me off my feet, teacher. And then she's like, Sophia's like, you can keep the fantasy alive like I keep it with my husband. I call Sal my pillow. I call my pillow Sal. Like, why are you telling your daughter to keep the fantasy of a fucking molester?
And you're like comparing him to your husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why are you?
It's like, you can still pretend that your being teacher wants to fuck you.
That you're. That
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess she was just trying to say that it's good to have, like, a, you know, a dream, a fantasy of someone coming along, and or like a hope for love. But
just,
yeah,
block
it was
out.
Kind of weird. Yeah. This is. I don't know, but.
It's like, yeah, I still hump. Fuck my pillow and pretend it's your dad. And yeah. Like, you can
just just block out all the bad memories of him trying to fuck you over and masturbate to him.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
I learned a lesson, I'm pretty sure.
Don't get fucked over. And don't be on a talk show unless you know all the details.
And so, that's the main lesson I really.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the last one thing I should mention about the talk show is, did anyone else find it weird that Dorothy just went on stage with flowers in her lap?
Yes. Yes.
She had the flowers the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that guy, and that guy kiss raped her right before the show. Like, don't kiss rape somebody right before they go on air.
Yeah. It's fucked up. Dude's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's insane. Yeah. Yeah. That was really weird that she was. Yeah. She had flowers. We were
I wonder if the audience members are like, I guess that's just what lesbians have is just flowers. Like,
maybe she's going to propose.
Yeah.
Let's run off to what was the first state to have gays get
Massachusetts.
Married. Massachusetts. Mm. That's surprising.
Right.
Honestly.
Right. It's blue. It's a blue state.
Yeah. It's like Midwest, like, not really Midwest.
East Coast.
Yeah. Anyway.
But it's got a Midwest vibe. I get it. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Like, the fall is very beautiful.
Right. And people are angry and fat, like it's the Midwest. And so, the ending when the other lesbian just shows up at the house. I don't know any woman, lesbian or straight, who would show up at someone's house and be like, hey, I heard you broke up with someone. Fuck me.
Yeah, the fact that people would just show up to the house is like the most ridiculous thing. Like, even the teacher showing up to the house.
Right.
Like, oh, who's here?
Oh, the teacher that was weirdly into me, and I as a grown woman can't look back and think that's wrong.
Yeah, and then the other chick looked her up immediately. Like, I looked in the phone book and found your address.
I know, it's a local number. All right, so you guys, we did it. We did our pedophile episode.
Yeah, that was fucking great. I'm so glad that that's the episode I managed to get on this podcast for.
Really lucked out on getting the craziest thing ever. So this comes out on November 22nd. Is there anything you would like to promote, or where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Real B Roche, B-R-O-C-H, also pronounced Brock by some people. And
Brock.
I run an open mic in Burbank every Thursday at the VFW. Veterans get work-ins, and active duty, whatever. We have fun.
Oh, that's cool.
5-minute lotto. Yeah. It's like, the VFW, it's like a veterans bar. So it's cool. We always have a few.
Veterans of foreign wars. Yeah.
It's really
fun.
And
we just have a few veterans in the audience. It's better than most of the mics in LA, to be honest. So
really,
if there's
fun.
Anyone listening that does open mics in LA, swing by the VFW Thursdays at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're there every week.
It's really, really fun, and it's a great group of people that hang out there. Super fun.
Yeah. And Anthony's a regular.
Yvette is a bartender. We love her.
Oh, yeah. She's the best. Evie.
Oh, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Evie.
Well, yeah. I don't even know, like, how to say her actual name, but she goes by Evie.
Yvette?
Evie. Like the Pokemon, Evie.
Oh, Evie. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Hey, Evie. What are you going to evolve to? And so, Genevieve, this comes out November 22nd. Is there anything you'd like to promote? Where can people find you online?
All right. Well, I've got a couple of Bird City Comedy Presents shows coming up. One of which on November 26th, we've got Jeremy Talamontas from San Francisco. He's coming down, and we're really excited. So tickets are on sale for that. And our very own Anthony and Carmen Morales of Almost Divorce Court fame. they're going to be doing a show at my house as part of their Top and Bottom tour.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's going to be on, is it December 9th or December 8th? December 8th,
December
I think?
8th.
December 8th, yes.
At 9 o'clock.
Yes. Yeah. So
so go to that.
Yes, go to that. I'll be making some good food and serving up some nice drinks and lots of comedy. So
Yay.
And you can find out about all these shows and more at Genevieve Rice. I am on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and I'm also producing a comedy festival called Bird City Comedy Festival in Phoenix, which will be taking place March 29th through the 31st. And you can find out.
It's my birthday. It starts on.
Yeah. Awesome. you can find out all about that on birdcitycomedyfestival.com and Bird City Comedy on all the social media accounts. So.
Nice. Yay.
All right.
Yeah.
It starts on your birthday.
Yeah.
What's your birthday?
March 29th.
Really?
That's how we picked it.
That's how we picked it.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to send you a video.
You guys can submit now.
Yeah.
Yay. And I'm at Anthony DeSamito on Twitter and Instagram. November, the day this comes out, I will be at House of Comedy at 7:30. That Wednesday for a bingo crowd work show, I think, that Hillary Hudson is producing. I know she's producing
it. Oh, Bingos and Brews, yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, okay. I was almost on that one, but I'm out of town, so it's fun.
Oh, nice. It sounds fun. And also on November 26th at 8 p.m., the Sunday right after Thanksgiving of 2017. It's my show, You Feel, at the Hollywood Improv Lab at 8 o'clock. And that is a theme show where comedians spin a wheel of emotions and perform their sets using the emotion that they get.
Extremely fun show. I've attended a few times.
Yes, it's so much fun. And so come out to that if you're able to. And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast has a Twitter, and it's at Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP, also at TIFBAP on Instagram. Music is by Brian Korkanak and Mike Dennison. For those of you following along, the next episode is season 7, episode 16. We're getting there, guys. Yeah. It's almost over. Oh, my God. So, you guys, be here with us. Listen, we will try and make it through without crying and without.
You guys are gonna cry.
Oh, for sure.
You're gonna cry. Yeah.
The whole episode, the whole final finale, we're gonna cry. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Chris, for being here again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Seriously, this was so much fun.
Yay! And yay. Thank you, Genevieve.
Of course.
Thank you, Chips.
Thank you, guys.
thank you, Sorority Flop. Drinks.
Yeah.
Thank you, India. All right. Thank you for being a podcast, you guys. Thank you for listening, and have a beautiful day and or night. Goodbye.
Bye. Yay. Gonna stuff the chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.